Thank you for downloading the East Haven Podcast. For more information about our church, please visit easthavenchurch.org. Now, please join Pastor Kevin Reiser as he brings us this week's message.
So, there was a little boy who was a jolly, happy little boy, and pretty much the optimist is his whole little life. One day, the weather had changed, and he decided that winter was over, and he was going to go out and get ready for some spring ball. So he grabbed his bat, and he grabbed his ball, he put his hat on his head, and he walked out to the field next to his house, and he was going to throw the ball up, and he was going to take a few swings. And so he tosses the ball up, takes his first swing, and it's a miss. And he goes, "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and that was strike one. So, undeterred, he picked the ball up and he throws it up again and he goes, "I'm the greatest batter in the world." Whoosh. Swing and a miss. Strike two. He sighs his head and shakes his head and he fixes his ball cap a little bit. He rubs a little dirt on his hands. He looks at his bat to make sure there's not a hole in it somewhere. He picks the ball up and he throws it skyward and he swings and a miss. "I'm the greatest batter in the world," and that was strike three. And he stopped, and he thought, and he looked at his bat, and he took his hat off, and he scratched his head, put his hat back on, and he went, "Wow, I'm the world's greatest pitcher." It's all a matter of perspective, is it not? It's all a matter of being able to find the optimistic approach, the optimistic point of view. Today's the first Sunday of the new year. And as we look back on the last 12 months, some of you would be the world's greatest pitchers. Some of you have had 2016s where you have felt like you're the world's greatest batter. Everything this past year has been a swing and a miss. So many things have left you feeling like maybe you struck out. Maybe this just wasn't your year. One of the things that kind of been on a lot of people's minds is the number of Hollywood deaths that has happened throughout the course of this year. Somebody actually decided that to protect Betty White from 2016 taking her life, they started a GoFundMe page to raise money to protect Betty White's life for the rest of 2016. You know, I guess they just couldn't take one more Hollywood tragedy or one more Hollywood death. It wasn't the year's fault. 2016, the calendar year, had nothing to do with that. Sometimes it's just like that. John Denver wrote a song and said, the title of the song is "Some Days a Diamond." Tagline is, "Some days you're the diamond, some days you're the stone." There's another country song that talks about being the windshield. "Some days you're the bug." You know, just it just goes like that. Life ebb and flows. And so whether or not you're the world's greatest pitcher this year and everything went okay, or you're the world's greatest batter, or you were thinking you were the world's greatest batter and you simply struck out, the question is, what are you going to do now? Because today is 2017. What do you anticipate for this year? Are you full of enthusiasm? Are you eagerly looking forward to what your new days and new life is going to bring? Or is there this overwhelming sense of dread that it's just going to be more of the same old, same old? And that this year is probably just going to be worse than last year? Are you just carrying around the Eeyore mentality? You know Eeyore from the Pooh series, right? Winnie the Pooh, his little friend, his little donkey friend. Oh, bother. Always this little dark cloud everywhere Eeyore went. What do you anticipate? Like the little boy with the bat, may I suggest to you this year that our attitude, our frame of mind, our reaction are largely going to be determined by ourselves. They're largely going to be determined by the slant and the position that we take on things. We can choose to live in victory or we can choose to live in defeat. The Apostle Paul, one of the writers of the New Testament, was amazing in his ability to choose victory. He was amazing in his ability to choose optimism. And it's not just because of his superior intellect, but it's because the fact that the man lived a hard-knock life. It was a very successful life in its early years. But as his life continued to unfold and as his riches and his prestige and his influence in the community in which he lived and grew began to deteriorate and diminish, he began to suffer in exponential ways. Shipwrecks, beatings, imprisonments, isolation, loneliness. And yet, Paul of the New Testament tells us in Philippians some great truths. If you brought your text, let me ask you to find the book of Philippians this morning. Words will be on the screen for you. I'm actually going to begin in verse 7. The screen's not going to pick up till verse 10. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I consider it lost for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ and be found in Him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering and becoming like Him in His death and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of for me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says that his plan for his life and God's plan for his life is to forget which is behind and press on and press into Jesus Christ. It's a pretty simple formula. It's a pretty simple strategy. But how do we do that? What are some things that we do in order to forget what is behind and to press on and to press into Christ Jesus? Well, the first thing I think we need to talk about is we need to recognize the value of time. But we also need to reprioritize the value of time. We need to reprioritize the value of time. You get 24 hours in a day. Some of that time is going to be spent sleeping, and some of you are going to sleep away more of it than others. But on average, we get about 16 hours of being productive in a daily life cycle. How are you going to use that time? What is the value of time? I think this is where age proves wisdom here. When you're young, you think you got all the time in the world. Remember those days? We got time. We got time to do that. We got time to do that. When I was a little kid, my mom introduced me to a singer. Julie, you may know the guy. His name is Roger Whittaker. Don't know if you know Roger Whittaker or not. Young people typically don't know him because it's not their style of music. But Roger Whittaker has a line in one of his songs that says, I met a man who had a dream he'd had since he was 20. I met that man when he was 81. And all we do is talk about waiting until morning. And when we do that, we waste our life away. We need to recognize the value of time. What is the value of time? How do we value time? 1 year. How do we value 1 year? What does that look like? Well, for me, it takes on a personal connotation. When I was in fourth grade, we lived in Lake Charles. I went to fourth grade in the Louisiana school system. Between my fourth grade and fifth grade year, we moved to Houston. And according to my parents, we were upgrading to the Houston school system. And they thought it was in my best interest to keep me back in fourth grade. So I repeated fourth grade. I've been mad at my parents since I was in fourth grade because to me, they handicapped me for an entire year. They held me back. That year was important. What about a month? How do you value a month? All you have to do is talk to a mother of a baby who was born prematurely to know the value of a month. What about a week? All you have to do is talk to an exasperated employee who knows the deadline's coming every single Friday. What about an hour? All you have to do is talk to somebody who is terminally ill, waiting for the last loved one to arrive to say goodbye. What about a minute? That minute where you were just late and missed the plane or missed the meeting or missed an encounter with an old friend or a loved one. What is the value of a second? All you have to do is talk to any Olympic silver medalist to understand the value of a second. Time is precious, but time is a human invention. God doesn't wear a watch. He's not constrained by time. He exists beyond time. He doesn't live by a calendar. 2 Peter tells us that a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And what Peter's trying to tell us is, tell us is that God deals with eternity, therefore time's not important to him. But we look at that and we go, well, one day with the Lord's really 1,000 years. No, what Peter's saying is that time doesn't mean anything to our Heavenly Father. But we make it important because time exists in a limited frame. Our whole life is based on compartmentalizing fragments of time. We start out in the infancy stage and into adolescence and adulthood and middle age and old age. And everything we do in life, we measure in segments of time. But time is valuable because time is scarce. It is scarcity that often increases the value of a certain product. And when something is rare, it's often valuable. And the time that we have is valuable because it slips away at such an epic pace. And the reason it is important for us to understand the value of time is because if we will understand that in 2017, we will understand there is only so much we can do to impact the kingdom of God. There is only so much we can do in order to spend time with our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through prayer and through meditation and involved in Bible study. There's only so much time and so much limited opportunity that we can have in investing in the needs of the hurt, the heartache of the people in our community and around us. There's only so much time, such a limited amount of opportunity for us to tell the gospel story, the story that changed us from the inside outward. I hope you start looking at 2017 as the fact that every new day is a new day of God's mercy, but it's also a very limited resource. We do not know the day or the hour, and life is brief. The Bible tells us that life is like a weaver's shuttle. You know what a weaver's shuttle is? You've seen the loom, and then there's this piece of wood that's got string across it that zips across that where the loom's working, and that ties everything together. That's where your patterns come from. But it also is there to bring strength to the garment. And as the loom is working up and down, this weaver's shuttle is just shooting across the threads, back and forth, back and forth. The Bible says time moves like that weaver's shuttle. Time moves so fast. And our opportunities to do and be for Jesus Christ and be his voice and his mouthpiece and his recipient of his goodness and his graciousness and his mercies, it so perplexed the psalmist that he said, "What is man that you would even be mindful of us? Why would you even pay us a breath of attention?" Solomon says, in comparison to the universe, the life we live is just a vapor. It's just a vapor. Did some interesting research several years ago about what life's like or what life is made up of if you live to be 75 years old. If you live to be 75 years old, then an average person will have spent 7 years eating. Some of us obviously spent more than 7 years eating, but 7 years eating. 5 years riding around in vehicles. 5 years talking. Just like those who overeat, there are also those who spend more than 5 years talking. 24 years sleeping. 3 years reading. 12 years watching television. And if you went to Sunday church every Sunday for 75 years and spend an hour in corporate worship with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that would only be 5.5 months. But you guys are all good people and you guys always do the right thing. And so let's say you also went to Sunday school in small group. That now takes your 75-year lifetime of worship and fellowship and camaraderie together to 11 months. Spiritual things should occupy a much broader part of our lifespan. Not just going to church and attending worship and participating in small group, but diving deep into God's Word. Spending time in quality prayer, not just giving it a glancing blow as you move through your day. Seeking guidance, instruction. We need to recognize that the time we have is limited on this earth. And the more time we spend in other pursuits and in other endeavors, and some of those things are very good things. Work, it's a good endeavor. But when you're laying on your deathbed, you're not going to look up at your family and go, "I'm so sorry I didn't work more." You're not. You're going to look up at them and you're going to be woeful for the time misspent. And so let's say you've made that decision, okay, I'm not going to work all the time. I'm going to be more invested in my family. You know, family can also be an idol. Instead, you may be on your deathbed saying, "I'm sorry I didn't lead you more in Christ-honoring way. I'm sorry I didn't make the things of God a greater priority in your life so that you won't wander away from the faith after I'm gone." We need to recognize and reorganize the time that we have in our life. Paul says in 2 Corinthians that now is the time of God's favor and that now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:15 says, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart We must take advantage of the time we have. We must spend it praying and studying and ministering and serving and helping. You want more family time? Then pray and study and minister and serve and help and do missions as a family. That leaves a lasting impact. That reorganizes time that not only affects your life, but it affects the lives of your children and grandchildren, but it also affects the lives of those that you come in contact with throughout 2017. Recognize the value of time and reorganize that time to have maximum impact, to press on and to press in to Jesus Christ. Secondly, Paul says, don't be in bondage to the past. Don't be in bondage to the past. Choose to trust God's grace that it is bigger than your past. We have all done dumb things. We have all made bad mistakes. We have all been involved in toxic relationships. We have all thought bad thoughts. We have all gossiped. We have all lied. We have all probably stolen on some level. We all have a past of some kind. And we all have things in our past that aren't God-honoring. Some of our bad past has been because we've made bad choices. Some of our bad past is because other people have pushed their bad choices on us. And Paul says, I will press on. I will press on beyond my past. I will forget what is behind. The Apostle Paul is an interesting case study in this because he says, I'm going to forget the things that are behind. And he writes this after he's already been shipwrecked and after he's already been in prison and after he's already been beaten. He says, I'm going to forget the things that are behind me, the bad stuff, the prison and the shipwreck and the beating and the suffering and the hardship of my life. I'm going to forget those things. But Paul also says, when he says he's going to forget his past, he says, I'm going to forget my successes as a Pharisee. And I'm going to forget my successes as a persecutor of the church. And I'm going to forget my successes that I gained and the status that I gained and the wealth that I gained from being a religious hitman. I'm going to forget those things too. And I'm going to press on. I'm going to press on and I'm going to press into Jesus Christ. Paul had a lot to forget. He had a lot to forget from a world's successful standpoint. But he also had a lot to forget from a sinful, murderous standpoint. But he also had a lot to forget from those who heaped abuses upon him. He says, I'm going to forget those things. I'm going to make the choice to forget those things. He said, I'm going to press on. I'm going to forget what is behind. In other words, he's saying, God, I commit to you. I seek your forgiveness for all my sins from the past, present, and future. I look forward to what lies ahead. And right now, I'm going to live for you as best I can. He understood who he was. He tells us in the book of 2 Timothy that he was the chief among sinners. Even as far as he had come in his spiritual journey, he still recognized that there was such a long way to go. So don't be in bondage to your past. Choose to trust that God's grace is bigger than your past. And when you choose to trust that God's grace is bigger than your past, then you can press on. Forget what is behind and press on. There's a third thing Paul tells us here that we can do to kind of take control of 2017. And that is to establish new priorities and to daily establish Jesus as your first priority. To daily make him the focal point of your life. We finished up the year talking about a lot about taking on the yoke that Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 11. Paul talks about it here in the context of this one thing I do. Paul didn't say, I have a list of things I'm going to do. He said, yes, I'm going to forget what is behind. Yes, I'm going to press towards the future. But this is the one thing I'm going to do, and that is make Jesus my priority. And Paul spent his life doing the things of Jesus. He preached. He established churches. He healed the sick. He wrote books. He mentored Timothy and others. He was also a crafty felon. When times got hard, he made tents. He exercised his skills. But he says, the top priority of my life is going to be to press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. And that prize is Christ Jesus. Jesus says, be yoked to me. Paul says, I'm going to do one thing. I'm going to be yoked to Jesus. Jesus is the prize. I'm going to wake up every day and I'm going to strap myself in next to him. It is from him where I find my greatest profit, he says in the passage in Philippians. It is from Him, through God the Father, that I find my faith. It is from Him that I find the significance in righteousness. This is not new. Jesus told us in Matthew 6:33 that we should seek His kingdom first. And when we seek His kingdom first, comes spiritual profit and deep faith and righteousness. So how's your 2017 going to play out? It's up to you. I can almost guarantee you that 2017 will be full of lots and lots and lots of swings and misses. It's called life. And in life, some days you're the windshield. Some days you're the bug. You get to choose. You get to decide. You get to put on every day Christ or self, righteousness or worldliness. Paul says, here's my advice. Forget what's back there. You can't relive it. You can't go back and fix it. All you can do is move forward to what's out there. So forget the things which are behind and do this one thing. Press on and press in to Jesus Christ. He's your hope for 2017. He's your hope when you swing and miss. He's your hope when you need a new optimistic outlook. So there's your challenge for this year. Choose Jesus first. Choose Jesus first. It can start today.
Thank you for joining us. If you'd like to speak with someone about how you can apply this week's message to your life, please call the church office at 281-922-5520. You can find more information about East Haven by visiting easthavenchurch.org. Remember as you go to live as God's people, telling God's story, building God's kingdom.